League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, man. This is Ball Don't Lie. We are dropping a day later. We had technical difficulties yesterday, man, so you'll be listening to the weekend edition. But we're here. I'm your host, Scott. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BarbShareScott. We got the homie Dante in the building, man, my co-host. You can follow him at OctoberZoneTe on Twitter, man. We've got a special guest here, family member here of the network, man. My guy, Serge. You can follow him at SergeValley13.
Yes, sir. Twitter, man.
What's going on, bro?
Anything good on your end? One day at a time, my boy.
Shit, I feel you. That's all you can do.
Everything's
right now.
A1, man. Can't complain.
I feel you.
Everything's A1, man. Cannot complain.
This is why I said, of course, we got to do the plug. I do the plug every week. Patreon. Patreon.com/ Barbershare Network, man. We're getting more and more subscribers every week. Want to get this up, to at least $500 by the summer. You know what I'm saying? We over 300 right now, so I want y'all to keep supporting. If you don't know, Cinema with the Guys, season 2 Sopranos review is out right now. Me and my brother broke down all the season 2 of the Sopranos, so check that out. We're going to have a regular episode of Cinema with the Guys, probably dropping when you hit us. We're going to be breaking down the last two episodes of Marvel's WandaVision, so look out for that. And there's no summer sessions OT. Blame me. Had a long night yesterday. I was supposed to record and woke up. I didn't know what fucking day it was. So that's my fault. We'll be back next week to talk about niggas acting like they're Jordan Belfort on the TL. So look out for that.
This is some of the most ridiculous talk I've ever seen in my fucking life, bro.
Bruh, niggas out here tweeting like fucking Bobby Axelrod, nigga.
Yeah, but the wild shit is, one of my homies work on Wall Street, and he came in. He told me months ago. He was like, bro. He was like, listen. He said a lot of niggas gonna lose a lot of money off this shit, bro. Because he was like, yep. What they fail to realize is just like Vegas. So like, you think you're doing something, you but no, not. The house always wins. Just right. Like yesterday, y'all the got ahead.
Always.
They win. Shut the machine off. They said, no, stop. What the fuck are you doing?
Bro, so, I like peeked in the Twitter every now and then. Yeah, GameStop too. I peeked in the Twitter every now and then. I had to take like my mental Twitter break that I gotta take like once a month. So I just like put my phone to the other side of the room. Like, I'm not looking at this shit today. I like check like in and I'm like, what the fuck are these niggas on? Like, y'all niggas is like really talking about stocks and shit. So we're gonna talk about that on the next summer sessions. But
I will
man,
say this, OG, before we get into basketball, make sure y'all go see Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, yeah, that's supposed to be out on HBO Max.
On February 12th, I got a chance to check out a screening. That shit was
good.
I do want to see that. Cougar did his thing.
It looks really
both
good.
Both actors did their thing, bro. It was dope. Like, I mean, it's crazy. It's another one of those movies, because I know I tell Scott all the time, bro, I don't want no more movies about, you know, Black trauma and shit.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's such a tragic story, but I feel like it still needs to be told, because bro was doing some dynamic shit in Chicago, and that's hard to do, because you know we talk about it, we glance over it, but like, Scott, you know how segregated, how fucked up, how racist Chicago always been.
Oh shit, for sure.
So for him to make the progress he was making, and they took that man out at 21, it's crazy. But
you can literally live in Chicago your whole life and not see white people. Yeah, like exactly. I didn't really see white people until I got to college. Like, dead ass. Wait, what name with niggas and Mexicans?
Facts. Like, I didn't really start seeing white people till we moved to the Burbs when I was 11. And that was a complete culture shock. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Or as my mother likes to say, we're nothing but Negroes and Amigos on our block. So,
yep, that's it.
That's all I saw.
That's crazy.
But let's get into some hoops, man. We got a lot of shit going on in the league. Like I said, I've been paying more attention to the NBA early in the season. I usually don't get fully immersed into the NBA until after the Super Bowl, but League Pass is some fuck shit where they can't have more than two people on the shit at the same time, and it's like eight of us on PAV shit, and I don't want to be in a group chat like, okay, which one of you niggas is watching the Bulls game? One of you niggas log out. So I just was like, I'm just going to pay the fine. So I'm like, so if I'm paying this amount of money, I'm going to actually watch more basketball nightly. So we're going to do our weekly observations, man. We're going to give it to the guests. If you want to start with a couple things that you that pointed out to you. Of course, we all know you're a Knicks fan. So if you want to speak on the Knicks and how y'all been doing, the floor is yours, bro.
Two observations. I don't think it was observations that I made this past week alone, or like new observations, but they've kind of been confirmed. One, our defense is legit. Okay. I don't think it's fluke. For the first couple of games, I thought that it was just teams missing shots because, you know, it's been a weird start to the season. You know, the season started late. You know, the circumstances around everything, it was just weird basketball being played. So I thought that we were just benefiting off of that, but we're at what, like 19, 20 games in, about a quarter of the way in. And I've seen enough to say that, okay, like this is actually a defensively sound team. Like they know how to guard a pick and roll. They all play as if they're on the same page. Like everyone went to the same practice and is wearing the same uniform. So I think it's legit on that end of the floor. Offensively, we've got a lot of things that we still need to work out that would help us. But I do like the fact that, you know, Tibbs got them to a point where it's like, listen, if we're not going to score, then no one's going to score. And we're just going to have to figure out from that point on. And I think that we got the steal of the draft with Emmanuel hooping very, very well. I don't know if he should be starting just yet. I think he's benefiting from the position that Tibbs is putting him in, because at the end of the day, you know, Knicks fan or not, before this season started, if you asked them what their record would be, you know, 20 games in, it wouldn't be 8-10. You know, it wouldn't be doing something right. So I think they should, you know, keep the rotation as it is right now. But he's definitely going to be a big part of the future. Observations outside of the Knicks. The Nets are going to have to make some moves, as everyone knows. You know, those two games that they dropped against the Cavs, I think they were very close to winning if they were just able to have someone that could play defense, you know, that could take a little pressure off of the three guys that are making everything happen on offense. Those are games that, you know, on social media, people were making, you know, jokes and everything, probably including myself, but like, those are winnable games. Those are games that, you know, you'll figure it out in the end, as long as the front office can get you the right piece to, you know, to complement that, you know. Because DeAndre Jordan, as much as, you know, as good as a player he is and as useful of a piece as he can be, he's definitely past the point of, you know, clocking in heavy minutes at, you know, at the five and playing 35 minutes a night or running with these guys up and down. So I think he'd be good off the bench, but they're going to have to make a few pieces and see what they can get to complement the other big three. Aside from that, I'm not buying the Utah's win streak. I don't think this automatically makes them like some
contender,
competitor or contender or anything. Like, I'm not buying that, anything like that. So everything else, I just think like the Lakers are just waiting for the playoffs to start. Clippers are playing really well. So like, that's about, you know,
I had a question for you.
There really hasn't been anything that's jumped out.
I had a question for you. Speaking on the Utah Jazz, what did you think about Shaq's comments on Donovan? Because some people feel like he's being hated. Some people think he's just being Shaq. He has a ring protection. He's the most dominant big man ever. He can say what the fuck he wants. I'm kind of in the middle, but I feel like it was more haterish to me.
Tend to cross the line every now and then because he thinks he can do that because he's got the rings. But it's still like, there has to be a certain, I guess, line of respect, if you want to call it. Like, yeah, if Shaq tells you, like, hey, I think you could do X, Y, and Z to take your game to the next level, right? You're going to listen to that.
Right.
Because, like, he's Shaq. But, like, you're just not going to, like, say whatever you want to me at the same time. Like, you know, like you have to, there has to be a way of wording certain things. So, like, I just played a game. I played really well. And you want to try to put me on the spot. you know, in front of everybody and say like, oh, I just wanted you to hear that. Like, so what, bro? Like, it's a completely different league today than it was 20 right. years ago.
Exactly.
I think a lot of these
old. And on top of that.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say on top of that, like Shaq always talks about, oh, you know, I talk about big men and X, Y, and Z. And I'm a guard. Like, leave me alone. Like, Wei had something to say to me. I might listen to what he has to say, but like, what do you know about being a guard, bro? Like, leave me alone, dog. So that's about it. Like, I think Shaq does tend to be a hater sometimes. I think he was a hater with that Gobert thing too. If I gotta be honest with you, and I'm not even a big Gobert fan, but like. I think it's like, all right, bro got paid, but like he's really good at that anywhere else. So like, cool. Like he just served a different purpose.
Yeah, I kind of feel like with Shaq, man, with Shaq, I feel like, yes, he's Shaq. He can do it. If he can say what the fuck he wants, criticize what he wants. I just feel like you said, it's the way you talk to people. You know what I'm saying? Donovan is I think he kept it professional, but he just be coming out like, you know, like a hater. Like, dude, like, who gives a shit what you got to say, bro? Like, you didn't even, he always said you got to average 27-15. Nigga, when Shaq ever averaged 15 rebounds? I remember watching Shaq. Shaq ain't never averaged 15 rebounds. I don't remember this.
It's one of those things where it's like Shaq and other great players need to realize that these guys aren't fans. Like, they're pro athletes just like you are. So it's like, it's a certain level of respect.
I think that's what it is, too.
It's like, bro, like
I think that's what it is, too.
When he said that shit, like a fan, anybody that wasn't Donovan Mitchell probably would have reacted like, okay, Shaq, I got you. I'm gonna do da 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 on some extra shit. Donovan Mitchell's like, okay, nigga, like,
and especially seconds after the game.
Right, I just got done hooping, bro. My team's on a win streak. Right. Now they still going.
Yeah.
But it's like, bro, I don't need this right now. Like this ain't. I'm not a high school kid no more. This is not the type of motivation I need. Like.
It's like, bro, I'm the best player on the hottest team in the league right now. Like, yeah, right. Why are you speaking to me about doing anything?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, dude, leave me the fuck alone.
Like, you telling me you don't believe in me? Okay.
That's and on top of that, Shaq never really cared about staying in shape while he played. So it's like, come on, bro. Like,
and that's what drove Kobe insane. Z,
like, when you weren't even doing that.
That's what drove Kobe insane.
Yeah, you were always out of shape, bro. Like,
with Big Macs and shit. And Kobe, like, nigga, I'm in here running sprints. And your ass up here with a number five on McDonald's. Like, what the fuck is going on?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
But Dante, man, what's some of your
That's why a lot of like players aren't taking him serious
at all.
Yeah,
my two observations this week were actually the two top teams in each conference, the Jazz and the 76ers. I think the 76ers are more legit than the Jazz right now. I think the 76ers have more firepower. I don't know how much.
Absolutely.
I don't know how much you can rely on Jordan Clarkson. Like, if you got to ask me if I would need to rely on Jordan Clarkson or Tobias Harris, that third guy, I'm going to go with Tobias Harris, you know? And so he's really been playing well. Ben Simmons, like I said last episode, you know, he doesn't shoot. He still hasn't been shooting it, but the man does everything else exceptionally well. And, like, I think it's time to really accept that. And, like, it works for Philadelphia. I do think, you know, eventually I would like to see him on a team where he's surrounded by shooters, but right now they still managed to make it work in Philadelphia. And I think them being number one in the East, that's something that's really going to stick. So you're going to need to see Brooklyn really pull it together. I like Boston, but I think they still have some deficiencies they got to work on. So I think Philly's a team that's going to really stick around. And I'm with you in terms of the Jazz. I understand they got the longest win streak. They've been doing it on both sides of the ball, but I just don't have faith in them long-term. I still think it's at least two teams in the West that are better than them and that can knock them off.
Those are fair. I've got a couple. I got three weekly observations. One, Joel MVP. Joel MVP. I keep calling this nigga Joel MVP. Joel Embiid might be MVP right now. This nigga's putting up 27-11 on 54% shooting. Had a big win against the Lakers this week. By the way, LeBron should have been ejected for that fucking foul on that nigga. But since he's the league, they're not going to eject him. He should have been ejected.
He pushed that nigga like Motar on the butter rim.
Ejected,
though? Yes,
he got two-hand push, bro. If Anthony Davis would have did the same shit, they'd ejected that nigga. Without, by far, they'd ejected. But since LeBron,
he caught, like,
not getting ejected.
I think it was a flagrant. I don't think he tried to hurt this nigga, bro.
If somebody
I don't think he tried to hurt
somebody catch LeBron like that, they get
a flagrant two is like
oh They push LeBron like that, they get kicked out and they get suspended.
Like you, you might be playing in Turkey next year. You
try right, exactly. LeBron,
but like,
exactly.
I mean, I don't,
that's why I said
that was that weird though, because like, because he doesn't like, he doesn't, he never does shit like that. So that was like, really weird, like to just see, like, yo, like, what was that about?
And then, because I had even had to double take. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's not really LeBron, but you know me, if there's any opportunity to get LeBron out the game, I'm for it. So my next one is Bradley Beal did this to himself. All right, let me, we just gotta say, every time this nigga loses,
no, 100%, no, 100%, 100%, bro.
Everybody does. Oh, get him out of there! No, nigga, nobody told you to sign that extension. It's not like, you know what I'm saying, he was, you know, had a bunch of injuries. He just had to do it for his own safety, kind of like the Deshaun Watson situation, where everybody's like, why Deshaun went out and he traded. If you told your ACL three times, you signed an extension too. Bradley Beal knew what this was. You knew what the severity of the situation was in Washington. You knew that it's not 100% that John Wall was going to come back. And even when he did come back, even if, when they're healthy, that's not really a team that's really doing shit. They got close in like 2017 when they went to game seven and won against Boston. But look, man, you did this to yourself, bro. Stop putting the pitch of this nigga almost crying. He knows the camera's on him, so he's overreacting a little bit too. I be seeing this nigga on TikTok, girl. You fine, nigga. You're perfectly fine. Now, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that he shouldn't ask for a trade, but let's just stop, like, this nigga is, you know, being treated badly. He's just in a terrible, terrible situation that he has no control over. That nigga knew he was signing an extension.
I still feel bad for a dude who, like, puts these numbers up and, like, plays this well and just can't win. Like, I do feel bad for someone who does that. But I do agree with every other point. Like, you signed a contract, you got to the bread, congratulations. But, like, you knew what it was. Like,
yep.
The Wizards were never projected at that time to be better or good. From at this time period when he signed that extension. So it is like you made that decision fully aware of like what the future was projected to be. And now we're here. So like, what are you gonna do? Absolutely, yeah. Demand a trade and get out of there. But like, he's doing the right thing. It's just funny to see. I guess like you're saying, like people's reaction to it, I guess.
People act like they're watching the kid get beat up. Like, dude, come on. Like, if I'm making $27 million, look, it would suck to lose, but nigga, I get over it. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, this nigga out here doing TikToks with his wife and shit. This nigga will be fine. It'll be fine. You don't have to send your get well cards to Bradley Beal. That nigga will be okay. My third observation.
Who do you think is gonna try to trade him? Okay.
Who's gonna try to trade for him? I have no idea. Who got the assets? Like, what are they asking for? Like, that's the thing. What would Washington want back in the
Bradley Beal deal? I don't even know.
I mean, they're going to want something.
I don't think they're even at the point of making demands.
Yeah.
And that's the messed up. They will want something. They will want assets, but they at the point where their leverage is slipping.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's similar to the Harden thing. As time goes on and it gets to the point where I'm not sure. Bradley has, 2 years left on this deal?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, as you get closer to that time where you know, damn near on the expiring contract, it's like, all right, now we got to move them. And, you know, and it goes even lower. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes with it. Because I'm with you. Like, at this point, it's like, I know we've always heard the rumors about the Lakers, but, you know, they don't really have the assets to move for them. So, you know, especially with AD and Bron both signing their deals. So it's really going to be a matter of what team can he fit on. I mean, I would love to have him in Chicago, but, I mean, they're not going to do that.
What about Miami?
Miami would be good. Miami got to go and say that. But also, what do they want
from Miami? They've been hesitant.
That's what I was saying. Are you willing to give up like Duncan Robinson, Tyler Herro?
I like Tyler Herro.
Because that's gonna be like what the offer is gonna be. Like,
they want like Tyler Herro, dog.
Especially Tyler. Picks. Yeah.
I like Tyler Herro, dog, but niggas be acting like he's untradeable, bro. Like for Bradley Beal, I'll ship that.
No, I'll trade him. I'll trade him though.
For Brad Beal, he can go. For Brad Beal, he can go.
Like, the only niggas who I'm not trading is Jimmy and Bam. Everybody else can go. You know, everybody else can get the fuck about it. Especially Bam. Bam, to me, is like, we're not talking about this at all. There's no discussion unless you give me somebody like a Harden or a KD or somebody like that. Besides that, get out of my face. But I saw a good, interesting Bulls trade.
The next 10 years, bro.
I saw a Bulls trade proposal that I thought was pretty interesting. Don't know if they do this. Somebody was like, deal for LaVine. To me, that doesn't make any sense by trading one for the other. Like, I don't really see the point of that. But if you tried to get team them two together, you could give them niggas Kobe White, Laurie Markkanen, and some picks. That might be decent for what they want.
Them play together?
Yeah. See what that'd be like.
I don't think that would really work. Because those,
that'd be
those
a weird
are
weird combination.
That, yeah, that's two like legit two guards, you know, like
yeah,
that's like, just straight buckets. Yeah, nobody's creating for nobody else. Like
that's now, a very good point. Yeah,
if you had a legit point guard on the roster already, then maybe you could make it work. But,
which
like,
is another problem.
Right, it's nobody to facilitate. So it would literally just be, all right, Bradley, you get a bucket. Isaac, you get a bucket.
just two light-skinned niggas hooping at the United States.
And listen, I do not want Denzel Valentine bringing the rock up.
No oh, more. My God.
I don't want to see this man on my team no more.
Like, I don't want Denzel Valentine at United States concession when we're able to go back to the game. This nigga needs to go, bro. Send this nigga out. Make this nigga the ticket nigga at United Center, bro.
Bro, I know you saw that no look pass that went viral.
Oh, nigga, the no look out of bounds?
Bruh. All right. But that's my other observation. Denzel Valentine might be the trashest player in the league right now. Off of that play.
It's been all downhill since the Drew League when he got exposed.
Yeah.
Like, this nigga
yes,
in the league?
Dog. This Frank Nitti, in the league? Frank Nitti caught him and it was a wrap.
He's been all damn.
It was a wrap.
Now, granted, it looked like LeBron was finna glass and shit, but still, bro.
But my man panicked like that, though.
No, that's some shit I would do just in an open run. Right. Like, just panic. Right. Like, come on, nigga.
I was like, you're an NBA player, bro? Like, come on. But,
like, they was right about you.
Right. I see why they schooled Joe ass, nigga. My third observation of the week is the Nets are a tough watch, man. These niggas, and it's not even because of the defense for me. It's offensively, these niggas ain't even got a system yet. Like, you can tell these niggas practice like once or twice. You'd be like, okay, Harden bring the ball up. Okay, Kyrie bring the ball up. Okay, KD bring the ball up. It's like when you're playing 2K and you're trying to learn the controls. So you're just like, all right, I guess I'll post niggas up with KD for these next three possessions. And then let me set niggas up for Harden. That's what it's like watching these niggas. So I know the defense
that's
is bad. That's been
what
the main
looked like that that Hawks game. That's exactly what that looked like.
The Hawks game was like playing 2K, bro.
That's exactly what that looked like.
Best of the first one, 140.
It was...
And it's like they got that system's not gonna work. Like I need them to get their shit together. They're gonna need to get a center, like you said, so they need to get them a more deeper roster. And I feel like they gotta understand. Now, I granted Kyrie is a great clutch guy. I have no problem with Kyrie getting the ball in the games, but they need to establish this is Kevin Durant's team at the end of the fucking game. Get a fuck ball to KD, get the fuck out of his way. I like what Harden's been doing as far as being the main facilitator. I think that needs to continue what he's doing with that. But sometimes Kyrie be tweaking. Like Kyrie is one of the masters of go to hell ball. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Kyrie, I want to say Russ, Zach LaVine is a go to hell ball master now too. Where them niggas don't see nothing but the hoop. And it just fucks up the whole, you know, rhythm of the offense. So they got to figure that shit out. But I've been to the point where I look at my lead pass schedule. I'm like, do I really want to watch these niggas not run professional offense for 3 hours? Or do I want to watch something else?
I mean,
but I think that's partially the schedule too.
We all knew that out of the three, there was going to be one that everyone's kind of going to be like, all right, like what's going on here?
Yeah.
And so far, at least, maybe it's because like he was away for some time, but like you said, like sometimes he'll just go on these tangents. And like he's really good, but it's like there's no system, there's no rhyme or reason to any of this. But fuck it, like y'all are scoring, and if y'all are scoring and keep doing it, like it doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah, they're gonna keep doing that shit until until it stop working. But that's gonna be an interesting team. That's gonna be a real interesting team to monitor towards the end of the year, because I feel like I'm gonna give them about 20-25 games before I give a serious analysis of them, serious breakdown. I also feel like after the break and after the waiver wire hits, this is not going to be the same roster. I do think they're going to go out there, get them a center, go get them somebody who can actually pretend to play defense. These niggas is just like, they play defense like the Bulls, but they just staring at niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only thing I miss about Tibbs is he makes you commit to the defensive side of the ball every time. And he just has random niggas. Like, DJ Augustine got a contract for the Tibbs. But at the same time, I don't miss him killing niggas. Like, people forget that Luol Deng was on a deathbed, and he asked this nigga, can you give me 20 minutes? Like, you live with the Tibbs, you die with the Tibbs. I don't really miss that, but we'll get to the Bulls later when we get to little Bulls corner.
Real, before we get off Brooklyn, I do think Spencer Dinwiddie got hurt at the perfect time, because I think they would have traded him, because, like, as good of a player he is, you don't need that offense anymore. Like, they got all the buckets in the world. So that's a guy that they could have moved for more pieces. But, you know, with him tearing his ACL at the beginning of the season, that's because I think he definitely would have been a part of that package with Caris LeVert.
And that for sure.
That would have brought them a big man back. Or they damn near probably would have kept Jared Allen. Got rid of
I was about to say, they probably would have replaced Jared Allen with him and just tried to keep him.
But this thing about Jared Allen can get rebounds. He's not the best defender. He's not the best defender, bro. Like, he gets the boards, but he can be better. Better than what they got right now. DeAndre Jordan, like 50, but he's not Lob City DeAndre Jordan anymore. Right. So that's definitely going to be a problem. But let's move on to our next topic, man. Dante,
the only person out of Lob City still hooping is Chris Paul. That's crazy.
That's literally it. Blake Griffin. Have you seen this nigga play basketball? Oh, my God.
Son.
Blake got to retire.
It hurts, bro. It hurts watching Blake Griffin play basketball now.
And it's bad.
It has not been pretty this season.
And it's sad because, like, Blake was adding to his game and he just kept getting hurt. And so now he's just a much slower version of what he was trying to do. Like, when he was healthy, when he had just added the three ball, Blake was nice. But then
when he just got to Detroit.
Yeah, when he first got to Detroit, he was a problem. Then he messed his knee up again.
When he got, like, that year, like, he got there.
Man.
He was hooping that year.
Then he realized he was in Detroit. And was like, why am I putting all this effort in? I haven't been to Detroit in almost a decade. I got an auntie there, and I always got to tell her, yeah, auntie, I see you when you come to Chicago. I ain't going to Detroit. Last time I went to Detroit, it was Jay Cutler's first year with the Bears. I tell you how damn long ago that was. I'm just not doing it.
if it ain't a fan of a union, I ain't there, and I still might not show up.
Nigga, I was down the block when Proof got shot. But that's a conversation for another day.
Nigga,
I was right there on 7 Mile. What? But Dante, man, you put this in the chat, man. You wanted to talk about how this current group of rookies are playing. I'm going to give you the floor for this one.
Yeah, I really just wanted to get y'all opinion on the rookies. The top three, we can worry about the top three. If y'all got any, you know, saying sleepers, anybody that missed, I know Halliburton has been playing really well.
Halliburton hooping.
To the point they talking about, you know, fuck Buddy Hill. But, and shit, right, honestly, man. That's who, you know, you know, let me talk about Friends of the Pod. Shot Lotto, bro. He wanted. That's what he wanted us to draft.
Oh, no. We're not giving Lotto any credit, man. Lotto.
He was on Halliburton before the draft.
He was. I had to hear that shit in my text the minute after the text. I'm talking about the minute the Bulls drafted Pat Williams. See, we should have got Halliburton. I'm telling you right now, G. He cold.
Halliburton has been hooping, G.
I was like, all right, cool. Then like, I think he dropped like 20 something on the Bulls. And this nigga just sent me a gift at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even gonna respond to this right now.
Yeah, but I mean, out of the top three,
we were low key supposed to draft him.
Man, it would have been perfect. But no, out of the top three, Zoe was already my favorite before the draft. But he's been the most interesting to me because he's not starting, but you know, he's still affecting the game in a major way. Like, he's averaging pretty much 11, 6, and 6. And so, you know, one of the issues that, you know, he's been turning the ball over 5 times a game too, in those same short minutes, and so. The coach was like, I don't care what you're doing. You can't be turning the ball over 5 times in 16 minutes. He was like, that's not going to get it done. And so I think it's interesting, you know, that I agree with the coach, though. And I think, you know, a lot of people have been saying, oh, put Zoe in the starting lineup. I know in the beginning of the season, I was saying that, he needs to start. But with no training camp, no summer league, I think this really is the best way to bring somebody like Zoe along because, you know, we've all seen, like, we always talk about go to hell ball. That's what he grew up playing, like. When they went to Chino Hills, he was just a shooter. When they went to Lithuania, he had the rock. He could pull up from half court and do whatever the fuck he wanted to. And so I'm glad that they're really trying to get him to, you know, buy into NBA basketball. And I think so far, to me, he's looked the best out of the top three players. I know Anthony Edwards, him getting drafted by Minnesota, to me, I just don't
Minnesota
like
is one of the black holes in the NBA.
It's crazy.
Niggas got like 10 number one picks.
Yeah. It's crazy because it's a lot of
talent. And nothing's happened with any of them.
And nothing's happened. Like, you got Cat, you got D'Lo, you add Anthony to it, and they still fucking terrible. Like, he's really shot the ball.
Cat always gets like some weird injury every year, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's their only issue, is that they don't really have much like continuity with him, and he's the best player on your team. Like, he's an all-star, like a bona fide all-star, but like you can't get like continuity out of him. So it's really hard to I guess get a rhythm year in, year out. But like, I don't know, they're a weird team.
Yeah, I'm saying that's crazy to me because he's such a talented big. Like, he does a lot. I know we talk about how trash he is on defense, but like, he still does a lot, and for them to just, it never translates to wins. Like, that shit is crazy to me. Like, the one time they won, they had Jimmy Butler there, you know, and that's a completely different story, you know.
They had Bulls North with Jimmy D. Rose and Tim.
Exactly. And so, you know, so that's been the story with him. You know, he's really struggling. And like a lot of the issues with these dudes, like, at the same time, one, they're 19 years old. Two, with COVID, nobody's been hooping.
Yeah.
So they had a crazy long layoff. You got to think, from the last time Anthony Edwards played college ball was shit a minute ago, because they didn't even make the tournament.
Almost a year ago, because he, not even that they didn't play the tournament. Remember, he sat out in Memphis.
Yeah, right. He sat down. No, Wiseman. That shit with Penny, Wiseman, so he's, sat out.
Wiseman. Yeah, Wiseman. I'm sorry. Yeah, Wiseman sat out. So he was out for
his,
a minute.
His last, I was listening to a pod, and they were talking about him. It was like his last time really playing organized basketball was fucking high school. And so you got to think of the learning curve from going to playing high school, basically playing high school ball, to now you playing with NBA players. And so, like, you see it with him a lot of times. He'll look lost on defense. Like, he'll get cooked by a guard and be, like, just shocked. But, you know, he probably not used to being, like, not being the biggest guy on the floor anymore. Like, he's still getting over simple shit like that.
Yeah.
For so long, he was just relying on his athleticism, and now he has to put those skills into it. But I will stay with Wiseman. This is one of those reasons why I think the draft lottery should just be one ping pong ball for everybody. Because when him landed on a team like Golden State, now when he fucks up, you got a guy like Draymond in his ear, you know what I'm saying? A vet with real experience, you know, championship experience in his ear, telling him the right shit, as opposed to him being on another team, on a young team with another young loser.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They just soaking together, and you know what I'm saying? You're not learning nothing. Like, I feel like that's what, you know, that's what really, what's his name? He played for the Bulls, Michael Carter Williams. That's what he went wrong. When he was in Philly during the whole tank season, they just gave him the ball, let him do whatever the fuck he wanted to do. So, like, he never had to really, he had no vets, you know what I'm saying, challenging him like, hey, nigga, that's not how we do this. That's not how we supposed to do this. And so I think that's gonna help Wiseman.
That's definitely something that I observed as well, as far as him and his relationship, and this kid into a monster, bro. He's already, like, physically and just like some of the things that he even just tries, like, on, you know, on random plays, even aside from just, you know, rolling to the basket and catching a lob. I think if he's able to continue to listen to what Draymond's telling him, and, you know, what to look out for, and try to help him raise his awareness, this kid's gonna be like ridiculously good. Like, his ceiling is really, really high.
It's extremely high. And then Dante, you put the nail on the head, man, talking about the environment. When you got an environment like they got in Golden State, it's a championship pedigree they got over there. So if he fucks up, Draymond gonna get in his ass, Steph gonna get in his ass, and they're not gonna. And then also, when Klay comes back, that's gonna add another layer to him being able to kind of be free to fuck up, because the light's not gonna be on him. Nobody's gonna be talking about, oh, Wiseman's not looking like a number two pick. They're like, yo, what the fuck is Steph doing? What's Draymond doing? And I don't think that's a better teacher for you as a young big than to have Draymond Green. I know people don't like Draymond. People can say they want about Draymond. He's one of the best basketball minds in the game. And you can also see them when he was, you know, filling in on NBA on TNT, doing the bubble. He's really, really fucking good. And you've even seen little clips of him coaching Wiseman up mid-game. And that thing, I think, is awesome to see. But I'm impressed by LaMelo, man. I wanted him on the Bulls. I was hoping that old Margarine Eyes would do us a solid and draft somebody else. But he finally got it right. He put the tequila down for a second and made the right draft pick. But he looks good. They got to start him. I don't know why he's coming off the bench. Start him. get that going. But he's the most impressive. I mean, and LeVar Ball is right. I think this we've come back and give Big Var his credit. He's been saying this. And he's the complete opposite of his brother, which we're going to get into in a minute. He just look like he sees the game so well. And there's not really too much talent in Charlotte, but he really makes guys like, you know, Devontae Graham and what's the other dude? Dark-skinned John Starks. Like,
Bridges.
What's my man? Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier? Yeah. Terry Rozier.
John Starks.
Yeah.
That nigga be tripping.
You know, they got a solid squad. And I will say, I do like the coach. Whenever LaMelo's on the floor, he's always on the floor with another guard. It's always either Graham on the floor with him, it's Terry on the floor with him, or they make sure he's on the floor with Gordon Hayward. Somebody who could take care of some of the ball, him and the responsibilities. Because we know, like, if you give Melo the ball, he going to just do his thing. Like, and I do like that he's a practice first kind of guy.
Yeah. And then just like really just let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah. I like that he's a pass first kind of guy. But at the same time, you know, with his finishing ability, I think, you know, he finishes with his left a lot. But like, unlike his brother, he actually tries to finish at the rim. I think,
yeah.
Like you said, we see Zoe, he'll drive to the rack, get to the rack, and then just pass that bitch back out. And it's like, why? When you could, you're 6'7", just go up. Like, at least try to get a bucket. But like, I agree. Melo's my favorite out of the three. I think Wiseman, I agree, he's gonna be special. I think, bro, really, like, if God forbid, you know, Clay doesn't come back at the same Clay, then, you know, Golden State will have to switch it up. But I think Wiseman will come along and they'll be able to adjust and add that wrinkle into their game and keep them relevant for a minute.
Yeah, I think Melo's definitely adapted to the game quicker. Like, you can clearly see, like, he just understands the game at a higher level than, honestly, some people that have been in the league for, like, you know, 2 or 3 years. Like, he's definitely ahead of the learning curve. His turnovers are something that I think the coach is right in trying to, like, you know, curb it a little bit. And I think he's smart enough to be able to make the right passes to cut down on those turnovers. I think this is just, like, youthful energy, kind of, like, he's just trying to, like, figure out what he can do, what he can't do. And, like, in the process of, like, doing that, he's going to turn the ball over because he knows, like, what kind of pass he can make. Like, I seen him make a pass to Gordon Hayward the other night that just cut the seam so perfectly. But if you were to give that pass to anyone else 9 out of 10 times, it might be a turnover. But yeah, you got it right that once. So he's going to keep trying those passes because he knows he can do it. Now he just needs to be able to know when to, like, try those passes and when to not. And I think that once he's able to show that he can do that in the time that he's being given, like, you know, it only makes sense that you just hand him the keys completely at some point. Like, it's going to happen soon, but I think he's smart enough to make the right adjustments.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, man. I want to make a quick, not quick, but make a segue since we're talking about Lonzo and all these rookies. Let's talk about a guy who was the hot top draft pick 4 years ago, which time fucking flying. I remember being at that fucking draft party. Just how much has changed for the Lakers in that 4 year span is like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? A lot of shit. Of course, good and bad. You know, RIP my man Kobe. It's been a year this week. A lot of shit is going different for the Lakers. But I remember sitting in that fucking brewery in Long Beach for the Lakers draft party. And I really only went there because half off beer. And I can leave work at like fucking 12. Yeah. What type of fucking question is that, nigga? I'm out. So, you know what I'm saying? But I just remember being there. I was also the night the Bulls traded Jimmy Butler and I was fucking pissed off in the bar. But I don't just remember the excitement from the Laker fans when Lonzo got drafted. It was like a new era. This is one of ours, you know, UCLA kid. And since then, like, it's just, I thought the you know, the breath of fresh air coming to New Orleans, you got a guy like Zion, you got a guy like Brandon Ingram. I thought it would take more pressure off him. And I never looked at Lonzo as somebody who would be a scorer. I really just need him to play defense and pass the damn ball. But he's looking like he's on his, and I won't say last leg, because unless you like trash, you're going to stay in the NBA. But he's looking like, you know, he's going to be, you know, very small commodity in the NBA. If you look at it right now, he's averaging 11.8 points per game. 4.6 assists, which is fucking ridiculous. He's shooting 38%. Shooting 30 from three. The man is playing terrible, and you should not average 4.6 assists when you got Zion Williamson in your team. All you got to do is throw that bitch up.
But
is he starting?
If I'm not mistaken, I think he is.
I mean, he lost it. He had lost,
lost his job
to Buddy.
Okay,
guy, bro, name. But no, I
think don't say it like that, dog.
He lost his spot to Buddy. Yes.
No, but one thing I will say, like Stan Van Gundy, Stan slowed everything down.
Yeah.
Stan is a big fan of the ISO.
Yep.
And so you know, Zoe's number one thing is transition. And so if you're telling me when I get this rebound, I can't launch this 50-foot pass. I can't just take off and start running. I have to slow it down, get a ball to BI, and then go run a set. That's not going to work for Zoe. And so, like, for as much as his play has struggled, I think it's because of the system plays a part in that. Like, because Stan's pretty much saying, hey, just play defense and then get back and run the set. Like, it's like Zoe is trying to, you know, play the passing lanes, take off, do things like that. And when you, like, last year when you saw him playing well before they got into the bubble, you know, New Orleans is one of the top teams in pace in the league. And like now they're toward the bottom.
Yeah.
And so I think he really needs a change of scenery. I know being on his third, when once you get on your third team, people start to get, you know, a little weary, like, all right, what the fuck is going on, especially when he's this young. But I think, I mean, if he gets in a team where the pace is high, like I know we, you know, biased, but if he play for the Bulls, he don't have to score. Zach and Kobe can score, but if you get him out there facilitating and running and just play defense, I think a system like that would fit him a lot better than New Orleans. So it's getting to, like I told you, I think I texted you. I said getting towards scary hours for Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, he's about that time because he's gonna have to prove something. He's a number two pick. De'Aaron Fox is, you know, about to get a fucking max deal. Or another one, shit, after this one.
I'm about to say, didn't he just get a deal?
Yeah, he about to get another one after this.
He just resigned.
But he's hooping his ass off, so he's really looking. He's floating toward bus territory. So I still think he can make it happen, though. But he got to get out of New Orleans. I think he definitely, it ain't gonna work.
I don't know. I can agree with that. It's not gonna work in New Orleans. I think it literally is situational for him, because when he first got there, he played pretty well. Like last season, Lonzo was playing well. I'm not gonna say that he's been like trash for like a long time. I also think that he came in with a lot of heightened expectations because he was the first Ball kid. Like the hype around him, we didn't get a good idea of what like this kid was really about or whatever. Like he had his dad running around just wilding. So like, I think that kind of just added a little bit to the expectation of it. Everybody was expecting like, you know, something that wasn't the type of player that he actually is. If he gets out of New Orleans, I think it's going to work out for him. He just needs to go to the right team because he's proven enough that he belongs in the NBA. Like, he can play in the NBA. He's an NBA player. He's just not playing on the right team. And he's also been hurt this year, if I'm not mistaken. So all of that does count. I think if he leaves New Orleans, if he gets to the right team, I think it could work out for him. I'm not going to label him a bust just yet.
Yeah, I'm not gonna label him a bust yet either. But if this was bust was football, he's definitely in the red zone. You know what I'm saying? He just need a couple more yards. He's definitely around that motherfucker. But I wouldn't. He's being put on the trade block, as you saw. I think Sham said a couple days ago they're listening to offers from him. I think if you're a 10, you could probably get him for the low. I would like to see him on the Bulls, and if you know, just give him, you know, a second half trial run. And if he sucks, you just don't re-sign him. I think it's just really that simple. I think one of the main problems with the Bulls, they ain't got a main ball handler. They ain't got nobody to set plays up. Kobe White is not a playmaker. No matter how much you want him to be, that nigga just job is the gun. It's not to set niggas up. So I would like to see Lonzo in that type of role. But I think y'all are right, too, as far as the system. You know, Stan Van Gundy does have like a real slow type of pace that doesn't work with him either. But if he can just be an effective guy, you know, somebody who you can be a solid vet, a solid starting point guard, where you're at least, you know, putting your guys in position to get the best shots, I think he'll be fine. And, you know, I think it's just one of those things where maybe he needs to be somewhere super low key. Like, first, all the pressure was on him in LA. He's supposed to be the next guy to carry the Lakers to the next decade. Then he comes to New Orleans, like, okay, now you with the next phenom. You with this guy, Zion Williamson. Why aren't you giving him better looks? Why aren't you setting up a guy like Brandon Ingram who can score at will? So it's maybe a lot more pressure. If he's in Chicago and he's playing with Zach LaVine and these niggas, you know, so I love the Bulls, but ain't nobody finna have a fucking light on this nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be the best situation.
Well, I was kind of – that's the only reason I've ever been kind of hesitant about the Knicks trading for him, because it was just kind of like – even if the Knicks are ass, it's like – you're playing in New York. And like right. that just adds to it. And it's exactly. kind of like literally like just playing, like literally just playing here makes it like something way more overblown than what it, you know, what the situation might actually really be. But like, I absolutely would trade for Lonzo. Nigga, like, if you ask me, would I rather have Lonzo Ball or Elfrid Payton as my fucking starting NBA
easy
guard,
answer.
Like, I don't care. I don't care how injured Lonzo's been, bro. Like, my answers remain the same. Like, make the trade.
Definitely.
But I don't know. Like, he's in a weird, he's definitely in a weird spot. But I think he'll, I think New Orleans is going to trade him. For who or to where, I don't know. But I think that his days are numbered there, though. They're probably
going to move. Yeah, I think he's going to get moved, too. I think with we say we bring up New York, you know, the Knicks are like, you know, the talk of the town. Even, you know, even though when they're bad, people still talking about the Knicks. With the Bulls, man, they like third or fourth on the, you know, media scale right now. You got the fucking Bears and their bullshit that we're not going to get into because I don't want to go on a 30-minute fucking rant. You got the Cubs selling assets like Michael Jackson. And then, you know, you got the, and then you probably got the Bulls right there. The Bulls are probably right there right now. Because even though on paper, the White Sox are the best team in the city, I'm going to be real. Nobody care about the Knicks. I love the White Sox. Nobody gives a shit.
We had 2 of 10 White Sox fans.
Right, exactly. Nobody gives a shit. I've accepted that a long time ago. So the Bulls are like number three. So I don't think it's going to be all that pressure on him if he comes there, man. But let's talk about something that Lonzo hasn't been, an all-star. The All-Star game I thought was going to be canceled this year, but Adam Silver says, fuck y'all.
Domestic terror.
Adam Silver. I think the one thing Adam that I enjoy
is cap.
One thing I enjoy, because me and Serge talk about this all the time. You know, this even before David Stern died, RIP, we were saying we miss Big Stern. Like we missed David Man. Stern run lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never really been a fan 100%. Of Adam Silver. You know, I'm just glad that people understand.
I absolutely miss Davidson.
Yeah, I'm glad people understand that this nigga's like a regular commissioner of any other league. People like, he's the people's commissioner. He's different from Roger Goodell. No, he ain't. He just act like he care. Roger Goodell don't give a fuck. That's the difference between Adam Silver.
I mean, I like Adam Silver, but I think the way he's handled this this COVID shit has been pretty, I ain't gonna say pretty bad, but it's been just proof that, you know, it's business is the bottom line, because if he was really the people's commissioner,
can you handle it?
I mean, I think if you really the people's commissioner, I know you don't want to do this and they would never do this, but you could just come out and say, hey, listen, these TV contracts are ironclad. We got to get this money. So that's why we're trying to make this happen. Like, don't hit me with this bullshit about, you know, entertaining and, you know, all that other shit. And we got a duty to do that. No, you need to do this to get this bread. And if you don't do that, you're going to face, you know, a financial catastrophe. And like, I think what kind of like we joked about earlier with the stock shit, but the rest of America is starting to see that these billion-dollar corporations live check to check just like regular niggas do.
Just like everyone else, bro. The pandemic exposed
all the bullshit. So it's like, if they don't get this money, then, you know, the league could, I'm not going to say fold, but it's gonna be major setbacks. The salary cap won't be what it is. It'll drop, and then that's gonna hit the players' pockets. So that's why, as much as people be like, "Oh, why are the players playing?" That's the same reason these rappers are still doing hosting gigs at the club and shit, because they ain't got no money. Like, if they don't do that, they don't get their bread. Like, that's how they make their money. The same reason, like, you know what I'm saying? So many artists make their money off shows, so like they have to do shows, and if they don't do that, they fucked.
And
so
that's why they robbing. That's why they cracking cars right now, because they ain't no shows.
Man, exactly. And so the All-Star game being in Atlanta, I think that's fucking terrible. The MLB All-Star game is also in Atlanta, and knowing them, this is like Palpatine. I hate that nigga Rob Manfred. I hate that.
Y'all funny as hell.
Nobody hates Rob Manfred more than this nigga.
He just do just so much dumb shit. I'm like, why y'all having? I'm like, it's the middle of a pandemic. Why y'all having an All-Star game? But okay.
In Atlanta, you know these niggas not staying in their hotel.
That's silly.
You know these niggas not staying. You think Harden staying in the hotel? All-Star weekend?
And you know, I'm going to say, everything is open, bro.
Kyrie going to be trying to dig up Dr. King? You can't do this. Keep him out of Atlanta.
He's going to be fucking having a seance at Dr. King crib, nigga. It's going to be people everywhere. Like, you can't do nothing about this. Yeah. And so, like, that, I feel like this was just an awful decision by both leagues. But for Adam Silver to do this, when you've been just talking about how you trying to emphasize safety, first of all, you don't even know how the second half of the season is going to go.
Exactly. You already got, like, what, 12 postponements?
No, nigga, you got 23.
23? God damn.
23. Some team, I think it might, was it the Wizards? Some team?
Or it was the Wizards.
Grizzlies? Some team, like, they missed like six games in a row. Like,
niggas
six
ain't played 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. No, the Wizards didn't play 4 like, weeks straight.
Like, it was weird, bro. Like, and I don't think these games have been like rescheduled. I think they've just been like, yeah, we're going to postpone them. But like, there's no dates on them. So
they go, like, what do you watch? They schedule shit at the end of the,
about
end
to
of the year.
Do? Like,
it's going to be like 2 weeks of just rescheduled games at the end of the season. Yep. Right before they do the little,
That's exactly
playing game. So I just think it's dumb, man. Just own up to it. Like I said, Roger Goodell told y'all niggas in September, I'm having my Super Bowl. Fuck what y'all niggas talking about. I'm having 20,000 people in that motherfucker next week, which is going to be nasty. It's going to be disgusting. I'll be there front row watching on TV, not giving a fuck. But yeah, man, I just don't know, man. Like, shameful. I just want people to understand that Adam Silver is not this woke guy that you think he is. It's all about the money at the end of the day. And that's all I want to see about that. Let's move on to my somewhat better but still mediocre basketball team that plays on the west side of Chicago. The Bulls. I feel like the Bulls only play one game a week now because every other game is getting postponed because the other team got the Rona. Like, like, the niggas ain't played in a week. So in that last three, I think we're 1-2 in our last three. We had a win over Charlotte like a week ago. We got banged on by the fucking Lakers on Saturday. I watched one quarter of that game. I saw what Anthony Davis was doing to Daniel Gafford. I was like, yeah, let me fire up HBO Max. This is going to be a long night. I'm not going to sit here and watch. And then I have to watch the Lakers feed. And I got hit, you know, the Lakers announces, oh, AD spins Daniel Gafford again. I don't want to hear that shit. At least let me hear Stacey. Yeah, they'd be like, oh, well, this is in your market. You have to listen. You have to watch the Spectrum. But anybody who watches basketball in L.A., you know, you can't watch, even when the Lakers are on national TV, 9 times out of 10, you can't watch. You'll be on TNT and the feed just go dark. Like, turn the Spectrum, nigga. I'm like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I think Spectrum got some type of contract where only certain games will be aired in the LA market, even if it's national TV. Like, I can hear Chuck talking before you know it, just blank screen. And like, this game is not available in your market. Turn to the local channel. Now I gotta go to Spectrum. Right. Here, and this is brought to you by Carl's Jr. Like, I don't want to hear that shit, bro. So, but with the Bulls, man, I think the main problem with the Bulls right now, they got smacked by the Lakers and smacked by the Celtics. Which really wasn't shocking, these are two contenders. Of course, the Lakers are the champs. And the last time we played them, we lost by 1 point because Zach wanted to play go to hell ball. But also, they didn't have Anthony Davis play that game. So you can see the AD was the big factor in this one. And them losing to the Celtics, Jaylen Brown had a good game. The main problem with the Bulls, they're going to have to outscore everybody for them to get the wins because they don't play any type of defense. The turnovers are ridiculous. I think Zach and Kobe averaged like 7-8 turnovers just between them two, which is like way too fucking much. And they need a point guard. But I will say one thing about this. You can tell the team is very well coached. They're responding differently. I think that win against Dallas was pretty big a couple games ago. Even when they blew that lead against the Thunder, they came out the next game and got a dub. And that's just really, you can all see how much they love and respect Billy Donovan, which is the complete opposite from Mr. Clock In Jim Boylan the year before, which was just asinine, asking millionaires to clock in like they work at Burger King. So you can just kind of see the slow process. But I'm kind of disappointed about Wendell Carter getting injured again because it's like we can't really, the assessment stops again. It's like he gets hurt every year. It's 3rd year he's got hurt. Even though I think he's buns and I want him off the team.
Assessment, nigga. That's the assessment.
If I was Arturas Karnasovas, I would trade that nigga. But I'm pretty sure they want to have a whole season to see exactly what they got out of him and Laurie. Now, Laurie, as soft as he is, he's been balling this year. I got to give it to Laurie. He's been balling. Soft as shit, but even ball. He's been putting up points.
He's been putting up solid numbers.
I don't know what it is when he played Porzingis. He be serving that nigga.
You couldn't trade Wendell Carter for a rack of basketballs right now.
Oh, no, he cooked Porzingis the first time. The first time y'all played us here when Portland when he was a rookie. Now he was balling actually that night. He gave that boy numbers.
That's the rite of passage. You're not a Chicago Bull until you drop at least 30 in the garden. I think that's like in the Bible somewhere. Like you have at least
drop 30. Yeah, I think Arturis, as he looks at this roster, he's really seeing that that the five spot is just the next spot he really has to tackle. We still need a point guard.
Yeah,
but we need a big. Gafford is a cool, you know, rotation guy, but you're not going to replace Wendell Carter with Gafford and think you're doing something. It's not going to happen. And so I think that's definitely a major, major concern because we've been talking about that all season. We get murdered in the paint every game, you know what I'm saying? And that's one of the major problems with our defense because, I mean, Zach and Kobe not stopping nobody.
Oh, hell no. They're not stopping nobody.
We've seen flashes from that. From P. Will, we've seen flashes from bro. I really like what I see from him. I think y'all niggas do be hyping a little bit on the timeline. It's okay because I know.
I mean, that's what we do.
Looking for something, right? We looking for some type of joy.
That's what we do.
But I do like what
this is coming from a fan base that called Ben Gordon Ben Jordan in like 2004, 2005.
Ben Gordon was hooping though.
But Ben Jordan,
that was hooping though. That was hooping, bro.
Ben Jordan though.
I was at that game when he hit the game winner against the Knicks, bro, overtime. He went crazy. Like, Ben Gordon used to put up buckets, G.
There
like,
wasn't even a lot of dust on the banners yet.
Him and Captain
Kirk? Back to high school, man. Ben a bucket, man.
Man, I was on a flight with Ben Gordon like a year ago, like around Christmas. I just hope that nigga's doing well because he did not look good. I was like, nigga, I know it's 5:30, but this nigga like Ben Gordon right here. This nigga like he was high. So I hope Benny G is doing better, man. But Serge, what's your take on the Bulls as an outsider of looking in on what's going on with us? What do you think about the team?
I don't know what y'all got going on, but like y'all record is better than what I would have assumed it would have been. So like I haven't watched many Bulls games this year. Like, so I'm not even gonna sit here and act like I could really give an in-depth analysis, but y'all are just on paper, I looked at it and I was like, all right, LaVine clearly still hooping, still getting his numbers, which I think everyone expected. And y'all have been able to get to, what, y'all, 7-10? 8-10?
7-10.
And we actually jagged like three games we should have won.
Yeah, we lost three in the buzzer.
And if I'm not mistaken, y'all started the season ass, and then at some point, it clicked. And then,
we got the doors blown off first three games of the season.
So, I just remember just being like, all right, like, I don't know what they got going on, but they have seemed to figure something out of what they got. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see because, yeah, I clearly are going to make some moves. Like, there's a lot of redundancy on the roster.
Yes.
I think, in my opinion, a lot of, just pieces that you could do without that you could package and try to get something, whether it's, further assets for the next draft because, y'all not in a position to really do too well. Like y'all might as well miss the playoffs, even if y'all in the hunt for it. So if you can get more assets to build on top of that, I think y'all have a little bit more of a clearer idea of where the team is headed.
Yeah, definitely, man. I definitely think at least watchable. I just want watchable. And I think this year you got to just put to the side as player development because we had no player development when we had Paxson and Boylan and Gar Foreman. So it's like you got to take a step back and pretty much to see what's going on. So, at least they're watching.
That's kind of what we're going through with the Knicks.
Yes. I think the Knicks are slightly better than us. At least y'all way better.
But it's all still very new. It's all still very new, though. Like, there's a lot of things that, were happening just under Tibbs, under Leon Rose and everything that we're just not really sure, all right, how are you going to handle this? Like, this is about to be this group's first trade deadline, in a little bit of time. So, how are y'all going to behave? The team clearly isn't constructed to make a deep playoff run, but you kind of want to see how well this group of guys is going to do. So what are you going to do? Are you going to trade Julius Randle at his most valuable, or are you all in as a future, part of this franchise? So it's going to be interesting to see what direction they're going to go in. I'm not really sure what direction I want them to go in on that end. Cause y'all know me. Before this season, I was not very high on Julius, but
I feel like he was the most hated player, night,
bro. Like
on Knicks Twitter,
because I don't know what he did or what Tibbs got in his ear about, but just just the way he plays ball, like, is different. Like, stylistically, it's just different. Like, it's a completely different player from a year ago. And I'm just wondering, like, I don't know, has he found the right situation, or are we supposed to just trade him at his highest value? Like, I have no idea, like, what to do.
That's definitely going to be like,
I'm those, definitely.
Yeah. Bro's one of those guys, if he was 2 inches taller, he would be a fucking animal.
Like, yeah.
He's one of those tweener, like 6'8", 6'9", but like he can hoop his ass off, and he's always been an athlete, but it's just, it's kind of like, you know, having a guy with his skill set at that size, you know, but that's Tibbs, you know, he did the same thing, you know, with the Bulls. Like I said, if we didn't score, goddammit, you weren't going to score either. And like, we were going to just drag it out, make it real muddy. And I think, you know, Julius Randle really fits Tibbs' style, especially, you know, look at what Tibbs did. He turned Joakim into an MVP.
Joakim finished third in MVP. He finished third that year. And they got mollywopped by Nene because he needed surgery, and Tibbs was like, we're going to put the show on the low. You know, that's what happened with that.
His foot was falling out. Tibbs said, I need 40.
Tibbs like, nah, nigga, I need about 40 from you, G. Like, we still got Poole on the sideline and Blazers, nigga. We need you to go out there and do what you got to do. I never forget them last 2 years last 2-3 years of the Tibbs era. It was very annoying. Like, that shit was fun for like 2 years. Then Derek didn't get hurt.
I said it was fun.
It was fun. Then you go out, you see this nigga Derek on couches and shit. Like, nigga, didn't you just get out of ACL surgery? I think you just got something. You and Taj Gibson in the club.
That's funny.
I don't even start on that, nigga. Like, the end of that shit. Then 2015, they quit on a nigga. So it's just whatever.
So
what?
I got to ask y'all as Bulls fans then. Like, okay. As fans of a franchise that Tibbs coached before, like, what is y'all assessment? Like, from the outside looking in, or like, is there anything that you're looking at and be like, well, these niggas think this shit is funny now, but this, like, X, Y, Z? Because first off, like, for us, it's like Julius and RJ, he's already trying to run them to the ground, which, like, I'm kind of like, whatever, like, up to this point, they can handle it. RJ's 20 years old. For now, he can handle it. Like, that's fine. But, like, I really don't know, like, what else to expect.
No, I'll say this.
I'll let Dante go first.
I'll say this. Like I said, y'all gonna fight, y'all gonna scrap. You might fucking wanna be an exciting 41-win team. Right. Like, it's that type of shit with Tibbs. And it's like, I know, you know, if the Knicks haven't been doing much recently, so y'all might really like that. But like,
there's a ceiling with Tibbs.
Right, man. It's a ceiling. And like, and the reason I get on it is because one thing I hate is like a lot of the analytics dudes be like, oh, D Rose was the worst MVP because Tibbs had to do so much. And I'd be like, well, check Tibbs' record without D Rose.
Right,
like,
yeah, exactly.
The shit ain't that good. Like,
yeah, it's including in Minnesota.
Right, he's even when he had Jimmy Butler, he's a very 500 type of coach. Like,
yeah.
So I mean, enjoy it. Good I point. Mean, it's good. It's better than what y'all been doing, but it's like, unless y'all, it's still though. You still like knowing how the league works. You know, you still gonna need that superstar in there. So,
yeah,
so y'all get somebody.
Absolutely.
But I will say this:
somebody in there, the issue.
I'll say this, you're in the Tibbs honeymoon phase right now. Everybody's playing hard. Y'all playing good defense. Niggas you ain't never heard of putting up good minutes. The culture's being changed. But that shit goes away after a while. And now, with Dante Shelby, the superstar, the Knicks don't have a superstar. The Bulls had a superstar.
That's the thing.
The Bulls had a superstar. And he ran that nigga to the ground.
Like,
I want to say,
this is the reason why I'm kind of like looking at it, because I'm like, all right, like, I like the culture change. I like what I'm seeing as far as just like body language and all that. Cool. But like, I like the way Julius has been playing, but he's absolutely not going to be the franchise corner, or like, he's not going to be the guy that you're like building around. Like, he could be number two if you're going to even keep him on the roster.
Yeah.
But like, you absolutely need, like, we like need a, like, a superstar.
Is going to
do anything close to what people's expectations are going to be.
One thing I will say about Tibbs is he will get the most out of every player.
Out of the group. Yeah.
Out of every player.
This group now, like, he's like, even now he's maximizing.
Yeah.
Like, this team, he had is John not Lucas, team, bro.
Yeah, John Lucas III dropping like 18 one time. Like, John he gets.
Nate had his best round.
Nate Robinson had, yeah.
Like, Now, that's what Andres he does. So, but I will, he'll get ready for, you know, those nights that RJ Barrett is fresh off a sprained ankle and Tibbs and give me 30.
It seems like give me 35.
Like, it's, he don't give a fuck. Like, he's old school in that aspect. Like, yo, if you're breathing, you can play.
Tibbs gonna be like, do we really got to advance the update the protocol right now? Right. Like, it are you coughing?
Yeah, Dolan would have to come down and tell him, no, he can't play.
Like, right, exactly.
Like, no, don't play him.
This was like, people were having like fights, bro. Like, Paxton was his arch enemy. Like, yo, don't play fucking D Rose. Like, there was just so much. Like, at first, and after a while, the players might tune him out. Because I said it this day, 2015, we lost that series to Cleveland. There was a series of the D Rose game winner and a series with LeBron game winner. They quit on that. They quit on Tibbs in game six. Like, I ain't never seen no shit like that. Dele had 26 points. You know, Jimmy wasn't doing shit. Pooh wasn't doing shit. Powell wasn't. Everybody legit was like, fuck Tibbs, nigga. And that's what happened in that series. So it works for now. But you're going to have to get some guys in there who are legit dogs. And they can say, fuck Tibbs. I'm finna do that. That's really what, you know, he could tell D-Rose what he wanted to do. But at the end of the day, D-Rose still did what he had to do because he's an MVP. Now, I will say, he put the battery in Jimmy's back. I don't believe Jimmy Butler becomes Jimmy Butler without Tibbs. I don't believe Joe Kim Noah becomes Joe Kim Noah without Tibbs. So it's a facts. Gift and a curse, but I like it for an up-and-coming team. I don't know if Tibbs is my guy when I'm legit trying to win a championship.
Okay.
That's my take. That's I try to tell T-Wolves fans that, too. They want him. But, you know, that's my take on them. But let's move on to power rankings, man. Power rankings for the week. Of course, we do our top five. Last week, I did it. I didn't do it. I did it from the top bottom. I'm going to do it from the bottom up this time because I was a fucking idiot last week. So I'm going to start with my number five team in my power rankings this week. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Lakers at number five. They're 3-2 in the last week. They're coming off a two-game losing streak against the Sixers. I don't know what the fuck that was because they did against the Pistons last night. I feel like them niggas just mailed that shit in. So I'm going to put them in on there. I think the Lakers have been really good this season. Like I said, I'm not going to judge them too harshly. Just because when you're the champion, you don't give really a care, fuck about bro. The regular
like,
season.
You don't care, bro. Like, I'll meet you at the fucking championship game.
Right.
Bro.
Like, yeah, you don't really care, especially in a COVID season. You don't give a shit. And if there's any player, as much as I can't stand, if there's any player who's going to be ready to go at the end of May for the playoffs, it's LeBron James. And now that Anthony Davis and the rest of that team knows how to win, they know when to turn it on and off. But just for the last week, I put them in five. Number four, I put the Nets. They're 3-1 in the last week. They're winning games barely, but they've moved up into the top four of the East right now. I'll put them number there. Number three, got the Clippers. 3-1 in the last week. Now, of course, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard missed the last two games because they were in the COVID protocol. They won anyway the last night. I think it was against Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, they won. Lou Will had a big game. But they're back tonight. They're back in the line tonight, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So I'm gonna put the Clippers at number three. Like I said last week, the Nets are the best thing to happen to the Clippers because all the pressure they were gonna get after blowing against Denver last year is on the Nets. They can just stay low and build and try to get this thing back in the right direction. Number two, I'm gonna put the Sixers. Sixers 3-1 the last week. Real big win against the Lakers. Joel Embiid is doing good. Tobias Harris had a game winner, which you should never let J. Cole game you. But that happened. Doc Rivers almost gave that game up. And I always say Doc Rivers is one of the most overrated coaches of all time. Even though I fuck with Doc. I fuck with Doc personally. Like I always said, I met him. Cool dude. We talked Bears football before. I fuck with Doc Rivers. But when it comes to coaching, I think he's overrated. At number one, now my preferences was saying, I do not believe in these niggas long term. I do not think the Utah Jazz are a threat. I do not feel like the Utah Jazz are going to be the guys who are going to challenge the Clippers and the Lakers in the West. No, but they're on 11-game win streak right now. Donovan Mitchell's balling. There's really nothing else you can say about that from the past week. I'm putting them at number one for my power rankings this week.
No, I respect that. I got something real similar. I had the Lakers at five. I feel like they're really cruising right now. You know, it's you know, they fresh off the bubble. They had the least amount of, you know, rest of any team outside of the Miami Heat. So, you know, they really just cruising, but I think the Lakers are going to be there at the end like we always expect them to. Number four, I got the Indiana Pacers, you know. They traded away their best player. Yeah. They traded away their best player, but they still hooping, still winning ball games.
Was he their best player?
That is very true.
I think my man Sabonis, a.k.a. Robert Pattinson, is their best.
Yeah. He's been showing you what we would have got if his pops would have came in here at a young age. You know, Sabonis has really been fucking hooping and, you know, leading that team. I'm going to shoot at the Clippers at three. I think the Clippers are really just, you know, flying low under the radar, which is really what they need to do. Like, Paul George with all the early press run preseason, he cut that shit out. Like, just hoop. Like, we know you can hoop in the regular season, so I really don't get impressed by a lot of this. So, but he's playing MVP caliber ball, so I have them at three. I got Philadelphia at two. I think, you know, like I said, they really going to, you know, solidify themselves as a top seed in the East. And number one this week, definitely Utah Jazz. 10-game winning streak. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert has been playing, doing what he does on defense, you know what I'm saying, erasing shit at the rim, really making it tough for other teams. And I think they're going to be a problem going forward. I don't got them. Of course, I don't have them winning the West because the West is just so deep, especially with the Clippers and the Lakers. But I think right now they definitely are the number one team in the West. In the league, really, yeah. So that's my number one team.
Cool. I got similar. Mine's pretty similar to the rest of y'all. Number five, I got the Lakers, because essentially same thing that we're all agreeing upon. They're just waiting for the playoffs to start. They're just going to make sure that they try to win the games that they're supposed to win. A few of them are going to slip through their fingers, like last night in Detroit. Had a couple of sketchy losses as well, but for the most part, they're still better than the majority of the league. I got the Sixers at number four. They're doing pretty, they're doing actually a little bit better than I thought they would. But I guess it is also because of the moves they made in the offseason allowed them now to space the floor out a little bit more. It's definitely been able to make them offensively a little bit more of a threat, or a bit of a harder cover. And I think that's been able to reflect up to this point in the season. Number three, I got the Clippers. Paul George has been hooping. They had like a little bit of a sketchy start, but up to this point now, especially last week, I think they've been able to put everything together in a really, really good way. They've been able to knock the right teams out that they're supposed to beat. So they're at number three for me. Number two is going to be the Nuggets. They are currently on a 5-game win streak, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And Joker.
Jokic,
still balling like a
Yeah, like a nigga at the YMCA. You can
make the case for him being an MVP.
Like, you can definitely make the case for
him. Still putting up numbers. Like, you can make the case for him being, you know, an MVP candidate or whatever. Yeah, like, you can make the case for him. He still has him overachieving. They're also in the boat of the Jazz for me, where it's just like they're playing really well. You're not going to consider them like a contender or anything of the sort. And then number one is Utah. Same reason. Like, they're, you know, one and two, I think, for me, this team are literally just the hottest teams in the league right now. It's got to be something. It's like right now, this week, these are probably the best teams, but those two aren't really contenders now. The other three, Clippers, Sixers, and Lakers, I think those three are teams that we're going to be talking about, like, deep into the playoffs and in the conference.
Definitely. We got the Lakers and Celtics this week. On Saturday, you know, they're doing a little Saturday. So, you know, I do them Saturday night games after the Super Bowl. So, the week before the Super Bowl.
I don't really believe in the Celtics.
This is the thing about Boston, man. Like, something's missing, and I don't necessarily know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
It's just something's missing.
No one knows what it is.
But I will say, we need to have the conversation about Jaylen Brown might be better than Jason Tatum.
Pavi and Damian tried to bring this up in the group chat the other day, and I just wasn't folding. But
Jaylen Brown has been fucking hooping. He's efficient as fuck. He's making strides on defense.
Still give me Tatum, bro.
Okay.
I think his ceiling is way high.
I expect you to pick any light-skinned nigga.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I expected you to say that.
Yo, that's funny as shit.
Everybody, that's
100% expected.
Right, just because I like Patrick Mahomes, everybody want to think that I was rooting for all the light-skinned niggas.
I'm about to say, if any other quarterback that's black that don't look like Pat, you got negative words for the nigga. That's okay.
No, I don't. I just said that Lamar Jackson can't throw. That's all I said.
Yo, that's funny as hell. Funny as hell.
That's the running joke on two-minute drill that I don't like black quarterbacks.
Is this true, bro?
Look, man, no.
That's crazy.
I love Russell Wilson.
My man J-Mo threw for 5,000 yards. Russell, he said, throw him in the trash.
Okay, let's not get started on J-Mo.
Man got LASIK. Nigga couldn't see.
If Jameis could knock him interceptions back by like 15,
he'd be a dog.
Yeah, man, by 15. That's a lot of interceptions to knock on.
The man couldn't see him for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns.
That's a lot.
Come on, G. Oh,
yeah, funny as shit.
But man, I do. Like I said, I do be ready to fight niggas over the captain of the light skin delegation right now, which is Wardell Stephen Curry.
I don't know though. Tatum and Jaylen Brown though. I don't know.
Give me Tatum, bro.
Both are. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tatum's game looks better. Like to watch, absolutely.
Of course, yeah.
It's
more visually.
Jaylen Brown does a lot though. Like he does offer you like a lot though. Like I'm not gonna lie, like he's a really good defender. Like he's a pretty well rounded player. But like Tatum, he might have another gear, but like I don't really know. Like I don't know.
I think it's one of those things. If he has another gear, he won't hit it on Boston. I think if he has another gear, he won't hit it in Boston.
That's a good point.
The way that they play, I just don't think it'll happen.
I do think that. I think he needs a team that just gives him the keys
like completely.
Yeah. Like it's just his like, team just with a bunch like, of accessories.
All
right,
this
like,
is all crazy. Yours.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that, man.
Yeah, but is he gonna win?
Probably not.
It'll be fun to watch though.
I think them niggas fun. You know what I'm saying? He do his little crossover shit, but them niggas not winning them, bro. Like
it'd be like Zach. See, like I love watching Zach play. We don't win shit, but it'd be fun. You know?
Yeah, I'm like, yo, Zach give me 35 and like 7. Gee, I had a good night watching the game.
Zach, you know? I have a 20-point quarter out of nowhere. And then
niggas going to the fourth up two. You know, wasn't that impactful? Yeah, or down 7. You know what I'm saying? So it might be that same thing. Like, I think the Nets fucked up a lot of shit for niggas in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, shit.
Like, you're going to see Giannis talking about, time is running out in a couple of years. It's just a matter of time with that shit.
Niggas' plans have changed, bro. Like, that Harden trade was, like, some shit that I think everyone was kind of like, yeah, like, what if? But, like, no one really, like...
Thought they were really gonna do it.
Yeah, like it was like, oh shit, like oh okay.
Oh, yeah, that's some like, nice 2K shit, but you know that's not gonna happen. And then they go, oh shit, nigga, that's it. Okay, that's all you had to give up.
Yeah, that's absolutely a trade machine trade.
100%, that's a trade machine trade. Like, oh y'all niggas just gotta give up Allen. That's it. That's it. Y'all niggas good. You get a whole ass MVP. You know, I don't even think that trade to get approved on 2K, but you know, we'll see. But Goofy Mog of the Week, man. I'm gonna kick it off with my Goofy Mog of the Week. I gotta give it to Tristan Thompson. This man said he hosts the Cavaliers retired jersey. I was like, nigga, huh? What? I don't even know if they're gonna retire Kevin Love's jersey. And you talking about you want your jersey retired? Stop, brother.
I mean, Nick Collison did get his jersey retired.
The Thunder never won a championship.
That is also true.
Then LeBron's going to get his jersey retired. LeBron's going to get a statue outside the building. Everything else is up for the debate. I don't even know Kyrie going to get his shit retired.
Yeah, that's facts.
Like, it kind of depends on the relationship.
That's wild if they don't. Put it this way. I think the only reason why Tristan Thompson even, like, fixed his mouth to say something like that is because he figures if we ended the title drought, they got to retire all of our jerseys, bro.
Like,
and
nigga,
I was on that roster. Like that has to be his only line of reasoning.
Nigga, if you weren't 23-2-0, nigga, get out of here. Get out of here, bro. But it really kind of depends on your relationship with the front office. I still don't know why the Bulls ain't retired Dennis Rodman, but that still bothers me. I don't get it.
Oh, damn, that's crazy.
He was a nut. He was a nut.
I mean, he was a nut, but come on, bro.
Yeah, he still got y'all a three-peat, bro.
Come on. Everybody in Chicago had the Superman, Batman, and Robin t-shirts they used to sell, bro.
No, definitely.
You had the Robin changing cup
all that shit.
At 7-Eleven.
Yeah. I had everybody, all the bitches, but I mean...
Nigga, Bill Winnington had a burger named after him. That's how big the Bulls were. And you can't retire Robin jersey? I named him the Big Winnington, G, at McDonald's.
I'm not gonna lie, that Kim Jong-il shit, that really fucked him up.
Okay, that's a good point. But it should have retired before that.
That fucked him up. Yeah, that, I think that might have fucked him up. Yeah, that might be it.
That might be it. That might be it. Bro, he's not rocking with that. That's not, that wasn't, that, I, they were probably on the verge because they did Scotty.
Yep.
You know, they had Phil up there, Mike up there. Shit, who else up there? That's it, ain't
that's it? No, Bob Love, Norm Van Leer, and Jerry
Artist
Sloan.
Artist Gilmore up there.
Artist Gilmore.
Yeah.
And Jerry
Artist Sloan. Gilmore not retired?
No, Gilmore's not retired.
I think D-Rose will probably be the next person to go up there.
D-Rose? I think D-Rose. Yeah, no, definitely. D-Rose for sure getting his number.
They don't even let niggas wear his number now.
Yeah, right. You put on number one as a practice outfit.
Denzel Valentine tried to wear number one. They said, nigga, what are you doing? are you crazy?
Yeah, who definitely going to get retired?
What you doing, bro?
I can see Joakim, too. That's really about it.
You know who's a sleeper to get his number retired by the Bulls? And he also may get a Paxton-type role.
Who?
Kirk Heinrich.
I swear to God, they better not retire that dribble ass nigga. No, they better not, nigga.
I'm telling you, watch.
They better not. If any of this, any other nigga should be Luai Dane for Kirk Heinrich. Fuck out of here. No.
Yeah.
I was about to say,
them niggas, they're like Hall of Fame good. Like, they don't need their number retired. Like,
I hate Kirk Heinrich for a reason that's not even his fault. I hate that he was drafted a pick after Dwayne Wade. It has nothing to do. It's not his fault.
But that's Chicago history, bro. If you look at a lot of the niggas we picked, if you look at the person picked right before them, they be like fucking Hall of Famers. Like every rip.
Every
like,
time.
For the past like 15 years, it's like, goddamn. Like,
the Bears have to trade for Deshaun Watson when they could have got him.
Y'all talking,
nigga, we lost the coin toss.
Y'all are talking to someone who's seen Steph Curry get drafted a pick before me, bro. We had to get Jordan Hill, dog. And Steph was right there, bro.
What?
The only other franchise that I like, that like I feel decent about, is the Wolves skipping on this man twice in the same draft.
Yes, twice.
But like, bro was right there, dog.
But you will not have a 30 for 30 on your franchise about skipping on a generational talent like Patrick Mahomes. The Bears are for sure getting a 30 for 30. The only way they don't get a 30 for 30 is if we trade for Deshaun. And like the tide turned, we right our wrongs.
But they're still good 30 for 30 because that's just crazy. Yeah,
okay, but it won't be as bad though. At least at the end, it'd be like Deshaun Watson eventually went to the Bears. And,
but this is
they
my
won two Super Bowls.
And I'm glad you said this before we close out, G, because it's like, do I want Deshaun? Absolutely. But we got so many fucking holes, and we
don't
money.
Give a shit. I have never seen a friend.
I know.
All them niggas can go. I will pack Khalil Mack house up myself.
And that's my thing. if we can get away with giving them more players than draft picks, I'm cool. I'm perfectly fine with that.
If they told me you gotta give, if I had to live in a world where the Bears could win and become a dynasty, and they said, okay, you gotta give up three of the Bulls championships. And LeBron's the GOAT worldwide. I do it in a heartbeat. I want to think twice.
Yeah. I tell people this all the time, bro. I tell these people, like people down here who ask me about Chicago sports, I'll be like, listen, if you ask any Chicago sports fan, if they could trade the Bulls 6 championships for 6 Super Bowls,
they do it
and
in
we only
a
have
heartbeat.
One championship, they'll do it in a heartbeat. Like if you look like heartbeat. The Steelers or some shit, them people in Chicago will lose their motherfucking mind. If
they
my get football
the,
team is
the best, because Deshaun
look,
come,
think about online, G. They talk like we good. That's what pissed me off. They talk like we Super Bowl champions. Yeah. I'm like, bro, we fucking terrible. Like, yeah. Are we watching the same team?
Yo,
like, y'all
true,
can't
though.
Be serious.
You know, it's the Bears on Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, like 3 to 4 times a year, every
getting
year.
Getting smoked. Nigga. On national TV every year. God, like, hey, hilarious. Put them on there. Fuck it. Let's go.
It's the charter
Bear
franchise.
Bear fans do be popping big shit, though.
That's not in here. Our blood. It's not in here. Our DNA.
Like, y'all make me look so bad, bro.
Every
like,
year
stop.
They make me look bad. But this ain't Saturday Night the Hollis, man. What's y'all two goofy mogs of the week, and we can wrap up.
Oh, no, sorry, you can go.
Adam Silver.
Okay, that's
goofy
a good one.
Goofy mog of the week, man. I don't need to go any further, man. Shame on you, dog. All-Star Weekend in Atlanta. This is like your third strike in regards to this shit, bro. Like, what's good with you, bro? Like what's really good with this nigga, bro?
He's really acting.
Shame on you.
Acting
goofy mog of the week.
Yeah. But no, low key, this week I don't have no goofy mog of the week. We lost two Titans, really. You know, Hank Aaron passed away.
Yeah.
And also John Chaney passed away today. So yeah. I just wanted to say RIP to them. You know what I'm saying? We got
as well as Cicely Tyson.
Cicely Tyson, yeah. 3. Shit. She was 96, wasn't she?
Yeah, 96.
So three, they both of them are 80. You know, I think Hank Aaron was 83. John Chaney was 89. She was 96. So, you know, real, you know, matriarchs out here. So, like, it's really important, you know, if you do have your grandparents alive, you know, speak to them, you know what I'm saying? Really talk to them, get that history, because we're losing a lot of legends out here. And, you know, it's a lot of stuff we really need to keep going. So, you know, RIP to them, and, you know, just a lot of love to their families right now.
Definitely, definitely RIP to them. I will say this, 100%. Though. I was going to say this on Summer Session, but shouldn't happen. If I live, once you live past 85, stop saying it's tragic. They lived a long life. Yeah, if I live past 85, don't cry for me.
Yeah, I just that's what, like, when Cissy Tyson, I was like, yo, she lived a great life, G.
96? I saw somebody was like, oh, it's so sad. I looked up, like, how old was she? Like, 4 years away from 100. She lived a long time, bro. So she married to Miles Davis. You know how fucking long ago that was?
Seen a lot.
Seen a lot.
RIP to them.
Man.
And I want to say, before we get out of here, I want to say thank you, God, for the Silhouette Challenge. Y'all just finding different ways to just bless the timeline.
Blessings.
I just want to thank y'all. Just want to thank y'all for that, man. But we're going to get out of here, man.
Hold on. About that. All you fucking weirdos, stop editing the videos trying to take the filter off.
Nigga. Oh, niggas is big nasty out here.
Y'all love spitting the punch bowl, nigga. Like, relax. Like, just relax, bro. There's no reason to fuck this up.
Chill, nigga. Chill. Let them do their thing, bro.
You're crazy.
Relax on the horn dog shit, bro.
They should have never gave you niggas internet.
Should never gave you niggas. Y'all niggas out here editing. Y'all on Final Cut Pro Tool. Let me turn this light down. Like, niggas, get a grip. Get a grip, bro. Get a grip.
Horny overload, bro.
Right, exactly. Stop it, dog. We're definitely going to talk more in depth on this on Summer Sessions. Look out for that on Monday, man. But, Serge, man, thank you for joining us, bro. It's always love to have you on here, man. One of my favorite people to talk basketball with.
Always.
Let them know where they can find you. Let them know if you got anything going on that you want people to know about. The floor is yours.
Yo, thanks for having me. Everybody can reach me on Twitter at SergeAvelli13. Instagram is SergeAvelli as well. Always making music and dropping shit, man. That's about it.
Definitely. You know, usually you can follow us at, man, at Barb Chescott on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Dante at October Zonte on Twitter. He gave y'all niggas 4 lighters today. I did a count. 4 lighters today on the podcast. You can follow Barber's Chat Network at Barber's Chat Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chat Network, man. We got a whole bunch of shit on there. You can check out Cinema with the Guys. We're reviewing Sopranos Season 2. We're going to keep up with that. We're going to do Season 3 by next month, so look out for that. Summer Sessions out, as usual. We'll be back next week. And y'all enjoy this last week before the Super Bowl. Quick, y'all have Super Bowl predictions? Who y'all got winning this in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to say this, bro.
I don't really got no predictions, to be honest with you, bro.
I don't go against Tom Brady. I just don't. I don't fucking do it. I love Tom Brady. I know he did the MAGA hat shit. That really threw me off. But when it comes to football, I don't go against Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. The man been to what? He done been to 10 Super Bowls, won 6 of them.
Yeah.
Bro.
His first Super Bowl he won. His first Super Bowl he won, that was my first Super Bowl party. I was in 7th grade, my nigga.
The first Super Bowl he won, Patrick Mahomes was 6. Patrick Mahomes was 6 years old, the first time he won Super Bowl. But literally. Nah, you got the Chiefs. Right tackle and left tackle are both out. And I think, you know, Vita Vea, you know, getting back into the rhythm, if that defensive line can really disrupt Pat, I know he's an animal. We know what he can do. But, like, if they can disrupt him enough to where they can get the ball last, I'm going to always take Tom Brady with the ball last.
Yeah.
Like, always. Just always. Death taxes and Tom Brady beating you in the last possession, nigga. Like, the shit just happens. And so if they can really do that, you know, and I think they had an offense to do that to really control the game, I think I'm going to go with the Bucs, G.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say my full analysis for our Super Bowl preview episode we're doing this week. Now I got to go back. I'm going to watch film and shit. I'm going to give an educated, because I'm 9-3 this year in my playoff predictions. I want to keep that going. I don't want to just come off the cuff. But I will say, look, man, like I said, my mom let me have my first ever Super Bowl party when I was in 7th grade. That was the 2001 Super Bowl. It was Tom Brady's first Super Bowl. I'm 32. I'll be 33 in October, bro. And this nigga is still in the Super Bowl. So that just alone is wild as hell, man. But we going to get up with y'all, man. Everybody stay up. Y'all have a safe weekend, man. And we'll holler at y'all next week. We out.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.